Good morning and welcome. I'm Christopher Purdy, welcoming you to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. We talk about the arts, and as they say in the business, boy, do I have a show for you. In fact, when I looked at the roster of our three guests today, I was a little bit nervous because they're all chatty, but that's good. We like that in radio, they all have a lot going on. We begin with Eugenie Grunewald, who is an alumna of the OSU School of Music. She is an opera star with an international reputation with concerts all over Europe and the States, including the New York City Opera and the Teatro Liceu in Barcelona and points everywhere else. Tim Sarsony is the conductor of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus and probably 12 and 15 other groups as well. We'll get to that. And Tim Veach is the artistic director and founder of the Columbus Dance Theater. And all of our guests today have lots coming up and have just come off wonderful projects. So they are the context in which we will discuss the arts in Central Ohio. I do want to begin with Tim Veach because I'm holding a poster in my hand that says Tim Veach Dance, the Columbus Dance Theater. Discuss.
Okay. I'm doing a retrospective concert. I realized this past year that I've been choreographing for 20 years, which actually I hadn't thought about it, and it surprised me. and I think I've just been making work, and then it sort of stopped me in my tracks for a minute, and I thought, you know what, I should look back at what I've been doing, not just keep going forward, and see what have I been doing for 20 years. And so I decided to sort of touch base with different dances from different periods of my work. And so this weekend we have three programs, Friday night, and then two shows on Saturday.
Tonight. And two shows set tomorrow.
And two shows for tomorrow. And it's going to be different repertoire on every show. And I actually had a meeting with the dancers in my company in September and sort of sat them down when I had this. I knew I was going to do this retrospective, but I didn't think, am I really going to do three different reps in three shows? And I said, do you guys want to do this? Because it's going to be really hard. And they all were like, yeah, it sounds great. We would love to do it. And of course, they've had great spirit about it. I have an amazing company. They're quite a joy. And
how was it to begin a dance company that did not have the words ballet or modern in it?
Difficult.
Okay. But you also have the word theater, which I
right.
think, yeah.
Well, and I think now, you know, we're moving into our 15th year, and I think Columbus kind of gets it now what we're doing. At first, that was confusing. I really have this company is really in the spirit of more like, you know, contemporary European dance theater, really. I'm very interested in how movement and theatrical elements and ballet and modern dance and all of it converge together to create a sort of expressive statement through movement.
Are you afraid of the word entertainment?
Not if it fills seats.
Bingo!
Exactly.
I like practical people. I think that's great. Speaking of seats, where's your theater?
It's downtown at Main and 71, right there off the highway. And you can call 849-0227 there if you want to get tickets. Actually, tonight is sold out, which is great. Happy about that. But there are seats for tomorrow.
Terrific. So you're also having guests with you, the Carpe Diem String Quartet is
yes.
part of the show. Who else?
There are so many wonderful musicians that are going to be part of this weekend. I'm very committed to live music. That's been something that's developed for us over the past 6 years or so, and we have a great relationship with Carpe Diem. And Karin Fujiwara has multiple...
She's a composer, too.
Composer,
yeah.
Multiple works on this weekend that are very exciting. So Carpe Diem's playing. Bradley Sowash, who is fantastic jazz pianist.
And composer as well.
Composer.
He's a local, yeah.
He is with us on Saturday evening. Catherine Payne, who we do 10 Cents a Dance with every year, cabaret entertainer, is with us Saturday evening. The Choral Society of Ohio Wesleyan University is going to be singing on Saturday afternoon. Carpe Diem plays throughout the whole weekend, all the performances.
You don't have to know a lot about dance to come to one of your shows, do you? Because I don't, and I do.
You don't. I mean, I think the work is theatrical, and I think it's accessible for all kinds of people interested in theater and dance and music.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, the Arts. We're inviting your phone calls to 292-8513, 292-8513. That's a 614 number. You may also email us at allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. Communicate with our guests, ask questions, give us recommendations, give us feedback. Let us hear from you. And speaking of entertainment, Eugenie Grunewald.
Good morning,
Christopher. Nice to have you here. What is your connection with Ohio?
Well, I grew up here. I went to public school and then graduated from Ohio State University.
In what?
Music and theater. It was kind of a dual degree. And then I moved to New York and started pursuing my dreams.
So you have been a full-time opera singer, a busy one, for a number of years.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that started gradually, little by little. I had to hold down survival jobs, just like most singers I know. And then, yes, I've... In retrospect, I think I've been singing almost 25 years now.
You know, this is a barometer of where the arts are in Columbus because you three folks are here in town and you're all very busy. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of dance. I've heard before, Tim, that this is a good town for dance. Yes or no?
It's a great town for dance.
Okay. Why?
Well, it has a long, deep history of dance. OSU, the department there, the dance department, is one of the recognized great dance programs in the nation. And, of course, Ballet Met was founded, you know, decades ago. And that those two entities, I think, then kind of having deep roots, then it feeds out and bleeds out from there. And it has prompted a lot of dance activity in smaller ways as well. I think you measure the vitality of an arts community not just through its big institutions, but through all of the peripheral or smaller energizing people that come away from those institutions.
And Eugenie, there's Opera Columbus, which is now administered by Kappa. There's Ohio State, but there's another opera company, and that's one of the reasons you're in town.
What a great segue. I guess that's why they pay you the big bucks. Yes, it's very exciting for me. And even though I'm still singing, in the last few years I've sort of branched out and started doing staging of opera scenes for young singers. I'm on the faculty of a summer workshop that takes place in Wichita Falls, Texas. I've been doing a lot of master classes, like with Chelsea Opera. It was a featured master class this past spring. And it sort of evolved with young artists and the companies I was singing with would come up to me and say, could you help me? So that's how that all evolved. Now, I heard about this opera project, Columbus, and I know Heather very
Who's
well.
Heather?
Heather Spence, the artistic director. And so I contacted her and I said, I had originally contacted her about the Amahl and the Night Visitors because it's a show I had done quite a bit. And I said, do you need a director? I had no idea. And she said, no, we've got that taken care of, but we have this other thing planned. And so here I am.
And here you are for opera project. I think this is their third production.
This is their third production.
And who is the conductor?
Alessandro Siciliani, maestro. Fantastic conductor.
He is the very much beloved former conductor of the Columbus Symphony, who's conducted opera internationally. He's living here in town, and he is... I guess the face, if you will, of the company, he and Heather Spence, and now yourself.
I'm an artistic consultant, and I hope to come back and do other projects.
Well, it's a nice face. Why not? Go for it. Go for it. I want to come back to that for a moment, but I want to bring Tim Sarsony into the conversation because you are presently the artistic director, conductor of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus.
Yes,
but
sir.
Before you took that job, you were conducting choruses and choirs really all over town, probably all over the state. And that ties into what Tim said earlier, that we are sort of, our barometer is taken not just by our large, as much as we love them, cultural institutions. And I think you're part of that success story because your career trajectory has gone up.
Yeah.
So where else are you working? How is this town for music? And is there a lot? I know there are a lot of wonderful amateur singers around. But
There are. Absolutely. It's nice to be this busy in music. I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, I'd rather be busy doing something I love, especially in music here in town. As well as the conductor of the Gay Men's Chorus, this week I'm the assistant director and the men's chorus director for Vaudevillities. We have a show this weekend. So we had a couple
That's
already.
A big job.
It is, and it's all volunteer, and they're great people. They are so dedicated to what they do and to give all the best they can. So it's a lot of fun to conduct them in. They're doing a whole sequence of songs from the Rat Pack. So Everybody Loves Somebody and Mr. Bojangles and all that, and they're just eating it up. And it's so much fun. When you get to the show week, especially, when you just get to conduct the little pit orchestra and just and guide them, it's so much fun. And we're having a blast.
Vaudevillities, when is that? When is it going on?
There's a performance tonight, 8 o'clock, and then Saturday matinee, Saturday night performance.
At Vets?
No, we're actually at the NPAC. We moved to the NPAC, which is the Northland Performing Arts Center.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I haven't been over there. That's another thing. We have more performance spaces cropping up. We've discussed the Lincoln Theater.
Yes.
And
right.
you, Tim, have had your own theater for
right.
a number of years.
Right.
Tell me about the NPAC.
The NPAC, it's at the old JCPenney's.
Northland Mall.
It's been renovated really very nicely. It's a little more intimate, but it's a great space.
And roughly how many seats?
I want to say 800.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Is the stage fully rigged? Can you do plays there or in theater?
You can. They can kind of form it to what you want to.
Fantastic. I'm glad to know about that because I had. And that's tonight at?
At 8 o'clock.
And tomorrow?
2 p.m. matinee, 8 p.m. performance.
Three performances by Vaudevillities, which has a big following in town. If you're a Vaudevillity, give us a call and tell us more. 292-8513 or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Susie has been waiting patiently on the phone, wants to talk about a play that opens tonight. Hi, Susie.
Oh, thanks, Christopher, so much. The Art of Freedom Cultural Group is performing a play at OSU campus tonight called A Lover from Palestine, and it's in Hitchcock Hall, room number 131, tonight at 7, and that's the only night that I know of. But it's $10 for adults, but only $5 for students with their ID, and children 10 and under free. But it's about stories of Palestinian people's lives.
And tell me, that's tonight
at
Hitchcock Hall.
Hitchcock Hall.
Do we know roughly where that is on campus?
Well, the address is 2070 Neal Avenue,
okay.
And I think it's on the east side of Neal, and fairly close to Lane Avenue, as I remember. But they say parking at Tuttle Park Place.
Very good, Susie. Thank you for that tip.
You
we appreciate
so
it.
Much.
Okay, bye bye now. Thank you for that. I always love having people call in and telling us about things that they're involved with because it's hard to know in this town everything. In fact, it's impossible to know everything
right.
that goes
right.
along, that's coming up. Even with social media, somebody worthy always gets a little bit missed. So let's be sure we hear about that. Right now, we're going to take a brief break and come back in about 60 seconds. I'm Christopher Purdy, 292-8513.
Rick Santorum, bowing to the inevitable, withdrew from the presidential race this week. That means Newt Gingrich is now in sole possession of second place. He says he's got a great shot at grabbing the nomination. After all, he just needs one more guy to quit, and he's there! I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for the News Quiz of Attrition on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 57 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today, warming up to a high of 66. Increasing clouds for tonight, a low of 47 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are likely in the afternoon on Saturday, a high of 69.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, presenting RESPECT, The Legends of Soul, with guest artists Chris Pierce and Bobby Towns, April 11th through the 15th at the Southern Theater. Details at jazzartsgroup.org.
All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich, our producer. I'm Christopher Purdy with Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater, Eugenie Grunwald of Opera Project Columbus and the Ohio State University School of Music, and Tim Sarsony. One of the groups he conducts is the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. There are others. Tell me, Tim, about how long have you been with the Gay Men's Chorus?
I've been with them for 14 years. My first 12 years, I was assistant conductor. And then the last two, I've been blessed to be their artistic director.
Have they been in, has it been longer than 14 years?
22. This 20, is our 22nd
really?
Season.
Oh, I remember when the sort of movement of gay men's choruses began, mm-hmm. I think about 25 years ago. So Columbus got on the bus pretty early then. Yeah. How's your following? How are your audiences?
We're doing great. We're doing great, especially with the last Christmas concert, our Joy concert. We sold out three of our four performances. We had over 2,200 patrons to see that show. It was great.
Well, in case you missed that, here's a little bit of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus conducted by Tim Sarsony.
And the small drum said he were.
That is from the most recent concert by the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, which I believe was done in the Lincoln Theater.
Yes, sir.
Conducted by my guest, Tim Sarsony. What were we listening to?
That was the Holst Dirge for Two Veterans, a text by Walt Whitman, written, just very poignant, talking about the father and the son fighting together, but having to both not surviving the war and being buried together in the same grave.
Is it auditioned?
It is.
You have to audition. And how does one audition? What happens in the audition?
Basically, I just check their my favorite thing. It's the Jim Gallagher.
Who's Jim
audition.
Gallagher?
He's the professor emeritus, the men's glee club. When I first auditioned, it's
conductor extraordinaire,
yes,
choral conductor.
I know that, but I wanted
to make sure everybody else did.
It's funny about that Dirge for Two Veterans. I just sang that last night. Mm-hmm. I sing for Ron Jenkins at First Community Church.
Yeah,
do you do the Vaughn Williams version?
I'm sorry.
You did the Vaughn Williams version?
Yeah. That's an amazing piece.
They're wrote very close to each other. Yeah. Written very close to each other. But it's I haven't seen My Country Tis of Thee. It's a great melody line, and most people know it. Even though they may not know the words, they'll la-la-la it, and I'll sing along. But it really shows their range, where the meaty part of their voice is. And then we just do some vocal eases up and down. I do some pitch recognition. I'll play, a pattern, have them sing them back. So.
You have a very good website, so anybody interested in auditioning or wanting to know more about the chorus can go there to the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. What's coming up?
We are our small group, Vox. It's a small audition group of 18 singers. We are performing a swing show, Vox in Full Swing, the 20th and 21st of April. Friday night, Saturday matinee, and then Saturday evening. The Saturday evening was sold out already by the end of December, so we had to add a Saturday matinee performance.
Where? That. Lincoln?
This one's at the Performing Arts Center. The Van Fleet Theater, the Columbus Performing Arts Center. It's on Franklin, mm-hmm. behind the main library.
Boy,
it's
the things you learn on this show, because, but that's seriously, yeah. That's very interesting.
It's a great little black box theater.
I mean, NPAC, and there's more and more good performance spaces. Obviously, there's a demand for it. Mm-hmm. Or people don't make these spaces for fun, because they're in business to make money. So obviously, there's a demand for it. Who is coming to these concerts? Tim Veach, Tim Sarsony, we'll get to you.
Okay.
Who's coming? Are they new faces to you? I know you probably have regulars, but are you getting
Absolutely.
New faces? Or
we have a lot of regular patrons, but we just did an interesting concert recently, the Columbus Dances Fellowship concert, which is sponsored through the Greater Columbus Arts Council. And it's a thing where five choreographers, local choreographers, are chosen and awarded $2,000 to create new work, and then we adjudicate that, and then we host the concert, and it's free to the public. And so we had all kinds of people come who just read it in the paper, free dance concert, and came who had never been to a dance concert in their life, had never been to live theater. That was interesting. I spoke to a woman who said, I've never been to a live performance. And I said, what brought you? And she said, well, it was free. and I said, that's terrific. And she came. She loved it. And she goes, well, I want to come back and see more of these things. So, we're trying to have we're trying to be a presence where we're bringing in all kinds of new people. I mean, that's really important. And young people, a lot of our audience is quite young, meaning people in their 20s, 30s. And so it's That's part of what our mission is and where we're going.
That's how you build an audience.
Right.
Yeah. Jeannie, for opera locally, because Opera Columbus had its ups and downs and ups and downs, and they did some wonderful things and they had some bad luck. Now CAP is administering them. And we've had recently the Opera Atelier from Montreal, which is a stunning, it was a wonderful company. Gilbert and Sullivan's coming from New York. Is it harder, let me ask in general, is it harder to run a small organization than a large organization? And what's it like to be a young opera singer in this town, Jeannie?
Well, when I was in school, I had a lot of opportunity to sing in the chorus with Opera Columbus. And then it was an AGMA chorus. That's where I got
the union, right?
That's the union. That's where I got my AGMA card for $78. Thank you very much. I had a lot of experience there. I did a lot of community theater because I wanted to be a Broadway baby originally, and I took a detour. And what was the Players? Players Club?
Players Theater.
Players Theater. I did some musical theater with them. I did a lot of stuff in the theater department. So there were a lot of opportunities, and now, thankfully, it seems to be even more and more and more. It's terrific.
When I was before any of you were born, I was a music major in college, and I remember telling my parents what I wanted to study, and they both clutched their chests in pain, went to 4 o'clock mass, and then had a couple of drinks. I'm just wondering.
I think my parents did the same thing.
My parents did the same.
Except you all had talent. That's the difference. But you know what? To be a young artist just out of school, where you don't really know anything about anything. No disrespect intended, but you're 22 years old. Come on. What do you do?
Well, that's another great segue. No, that's not what I did, but that's a great segue into our program next weekend. What we're doing is called A Taste of Opera. This is for people who may not have ever gone to a full-length opera.
It's boring. They're all fat. They're all ugly.
Au contraire. This one, we do all the hit tunes. We get the best of everything. And we've got singers who have... or may still be in school. We've got singers who may have just graduated from school. We have seasoned professionals like Carolyn Redmond, who graduated from Ohio State, but has now been working in the area for years, who is a fantastic mezzo-soprano.
She is.
And you have everything, soup to nuts, and everything in between. Heather Spence has been singing all her life. I know she took a bit of a hiatus, but now is back, bigger and better than ever. The voice is amazing. So what this is going to be is semi-staged scenes. It's going to be in concert dress. There are no costumes. There are no props. There are no sets. But my aim is to – I'm also narrating it. So I set the scene before each – the tone of the scene and what I want people to see is, even if we don't have subtitles, there's drama happening.
So you're going to hear foreign languages.
You're going to hear foreign languages.
And how many people die violently?
Nobody dies on our stage.
Oh, okay.
Those happen at the end of the opera normally.
You'll have to come back for the
exactly.
Right.
Go see the full opera for the gore and the death and the blood. And
Yes. Vengeance, yes.
Yes, vengeance. So... we're doing two performances at Grace Chapel at Ohio Wesleyan next Friday, the 20th and the 21st. Both nights are 8 o'clock. Friday night, there is a gala afterwards. You can buy a separate ticket, come meet the artists, congratulate Maestro, meet me if anyone has questions or such and such. It is our closing production of this inaugural season. And you can go to www.operaprojectcolumbus.org.
Or you can call us right now and talk about it. 292-8513, All Sides Weekend at allsides@wosu.org. You can also find us on Facebook. Again, the number 292-8513. Talk to Tim Veach, Columbus Dance Theater. Eugenie Grunwald, Opera Project Columbus, who's irritated because I just interrupted her. And Tim Sarsony from Vaudevillities this weekend and the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. Before we go any further, I want people to hear Eugenie Grunwald, mezzo-soprano, born and raised and trained here, and then took her act on the road. A little bit of Carmen. Thank you. Now, like all singers who hear their own performances, while that was going on, everybody in Radio Land, she was glaring at me and pointing at me and everything else. And I don't care. I thought it was great.
Christopher, so that's, you know, that I only sang that. I only sing. I never get to sing Carmen. I sing all these other girls. But I sang it because it was a concert and I wanted to sing it. And I have fun. But trust me, Carolyn Redman will do a much better job.
Never mind that. Eugenie Grunwald is a mezzo-soprano. She's now an impresaria and stage director. Talk to me about the Siciliani connection. Alessandro Siciliani is the artistic director, or he's the conductor, music director of the group.
He's the music director, Heather Spence, and Julie Castro, who's the kind of the administrative director.
She's a physician.
She's a physician and a huge lover of opera. Mm-hmm. And they brought Maestro on board. I'm not actually quite sure how that all happened, but... thankfully, he agreed, and I watched the rehearsal. There was a music rehearsal Wednesday night. We were doing the first act trio of Trovatore and the Bohème Quartet, the famous quartet. And he, especially in this Italian repertoire, he has so much to give the singers, so much, stylistically and all of this. So you were talking about young singers getting good experience. He's you can't get better than that.
No, he's in that repertoire, especially. Yeah, he's the source. So that is next weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, you can go to the website and purchase tickets.
Here's another great thing. Tim Veitch, my two Tims, Tim Veitch and Tim Sarsony, both have shows this weekend, but there are multiple performances, so there's no excuse to miss either one of them. Tim, Vaudevillities is again this weekend, tonight.
Tonight, Saturday, matinee, Saturday night.
Now, how many attractions are in Vaudevillities? Because people do a lot. It's a big show, isn't it?
It's a big show. It's a big variety show. Yeah. I mean, there are probably 20 numbers each half.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah, it's great.
So those rehearsals must be killing because there's so much going on.
Well, I just do the men, so that's
all I see.
Oh, so you
just come for the men's chorus. All right. And that's at NOPAC, NPAC.
The NPAC, yep.
Which is at the site of the former Northland Mall.
That's correct.
If you know where that is, you know where this theater is. It's the old JCPenney store, right?
That's correct.
And I may go along because I'm very curious about these new venues we're talking about as well. Mm-hmm. Tim Veitch, you have your own theater.
Yep.
That's got to be an investment.
It is a... constant project and investment, and you know, you're making art, but you're also, like, we were painting the building, you know, stuff like stuff like that, keeping things going and running. And but it's fantastic to have our own space. I mean, it's sort of transformed what we do because we can perform when we'd like to and set up our season when we want, and that's been flexible and great for us. And it's an intimate venue, which I think is good for my work, and I think it's worked out really well.
As a big part of your day or your worry about building maintenance and things like that?
Yeah, I mean,
it must be.
It is. I mean, that's all part of it, you know. And I've had to learn how to do a lot of things to become a choreographer and
like,
make
like
a place.
Like carpentry and electrician?
I mean, actually, when we first opened the theater, I built the lights myself, talking to a lighting designer friend, my friend Dana White, on the phone going, now, what do I do? How do I insert this wire into it? And so fortunately, we didn't burn it down, and it worked out okay. And then we have a nice, wonderful patron, Stacy Fisher, and it's now named Fisher Theater Space, and she assists us with stuff for the theater in terms of money and support. And she's actually coming in from San Francisco to see this concert this weekend.
Wow.
I'm very excited.
Great.
Yeah.
Terrific. And Jeannie, I'm just a little curious, meaning no disrespect to anybody, but why Delaware? Why Ohio Wesleyan? It's a beautiful space, don't get me wrong.
It is a beautiful space. As far as I can tell, they've done the other two things in two different venues as well. They're... depending on what the project is, and I'm not sure what the season is next year. I know that's, if not formed, almost formed.
Because they were at the Josephinum for Swarovski.
Correct.
And then they were at St. Charles Academy on
correct.
Broad Street.
Yeah. So I think it depends on what the offering is, where what space that they use. And I know they will probably explore all these other wonderful spaces that are available now. In the city, but Gray's Chapel is beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's great. So in the next 2 weeks, you can see Vaudevillities, you can see opera project Columbus, you can see Tim Veitch's Dance Theater, and you can experience the Columbus Symphony, which tonight has a world premiere, the second symphony of Donald Harris. is on a program with music by Richard Strauss and Mozart, all conducted by Jean-Marie Zaituni. And here's just a little bit of Jean-Marie Zaituni talking about the program coming up and Donald Harris's new work.
The most important thing, I think, for me is to work with a living composer. And that's a great privilege, because you're able to go back and forth and say, you know, what did you think this passage? You know, what do you want to express, or why did you write it like this? And he's very candid, and he said, okay, this is what I wanted. And so we're able to work in a collaborative way, which I, you know, I often dream that I could speak to Mozart, or I could speak to anyone else. This piece, the structure of the piece is very clear. The language is actually the language of somebody who has lots of experience, because there's no note in this score that is there for no reason.
That's Jean-Marie Zaituni, who is the music director of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. He's been with us, I think this is his third season. He is a stunning musician, great ears, but he's also very charming and sort of cuddly. And, you know, he's a very good spokesperson for the arts, and he's interested not just in the symphony. I'm sure he's going to come to Tim's performances at some point, and your Tim performances and Eugenie's performances. I mean, he's very curious to know what's going on out there. Donald Harris is a composer and a teacher and a mentor, and I need to ask my two OSU alumna, Tim Sarsony. Tell me about Donald Harris. Have you worked with him?
No, I haven't had the chance to.
Okay.
Me neither.
Okay. So. But where have you two been? Gee.
I've been in New York.
Okay. Donald Harris is the emeritus professor of music theory at Ohio State School of Music. He was for many years the director of the College of the Arts and had a long career in academia and as a composer, and lived in Paris for a number of years. And tonight we are going to hear downtown his Symphony No. 2, the world premiere. The performance tomorrow night will be broadcast live on Classical 101, along with Richard Strauss's music, his 2001 Space Odyssey, you know this as. It's, it has a German title, but okay, we'll go there another time. And music of Mozart. So the Columbus Symphony is now doing really eclectic programming. They are pushing the envelope with their own programming with this dynamic new music director. So there's so much going on. Is there too much going on? Is that possible?
No, that's not possible.
Think so.
Really?
I don't
okay,
think
well,
so.
That's good. Discuss that. That's interesting, because you were all pretty emphatic about that.
Well, especially in a city of this size.
Right.
I mean, I would think it should be able to support a lot of different things.
Well, I think I always say the same thing. More makes more. More makes more.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
The more you go to see live theater, live music, live dance, the more you want to see more.
I
and
think the
so
reason, yeah,
having that
in
a breadth
Columbus
is
too,
important.
Is that, is for that reason.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and the people that you let in for free the first time who are so taken in, like I said, that's how you build your audience. And then they want to come back and pay, because there really is nothing like a live performance.
Right.
That's terrific. I wonder if it's ever worth tracking that, who comes for free and then returns as a paying customer. I mean, what kind of percentage? I'm sure somebody, probably the National Endowment of the Arts, is doing a study on that, but I'm curious
sure
to know. But
also
the thing I think that's important is that each of you, you're all very good at buzz. About talking about what you're doing and really getting out there and letting people know what's happening.
Well, when you're passionate about it, I think the three of us are, it's really actually hard to get us to
start for us to
up.
Keep our mouths shut.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We have several emails to go to and someone waiting patiently on the phone. But first, a break for 90 seconds. Don't go away. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend.
On the next Fresh Air, in recognition of Poetry Month, we hear from poet Marie Howe. She's not very well known. The first poem of hers that caught our attention, What the Living Do, is about her new comprehension of life after her brother's death. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Time is running out for you to win the new iPad and support our station. Our spring membership drive begins soon, and by becoming a sustaining member early, you'll be automatically entered to win the new iPad. Visit WOSU.org, make your sustaining gift, and get registered. No pledge is necessary, but your support will continue to pay for the programs you enjoy. Entries are only accepted at WOSU.org. Thanks for supporting 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More information online at glenn.osu.edu or at an information session on April 17th or 18th.
57 degrees with sunshine, sunny skies warming up to a high of 66 today, clouds tonight and a low of 47 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Saturday, a high of 69. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. We are talking about the arts in Central Ohio, and Terry has been waiting very patiently. Terry, hello. Thank you for your call.
You're quite welcome. I'd like to know if any of your artists ever performed the Ohio Light Opera season. It's out of Worcester, Ohio.
No.
They are very celebrated. Yeah, they really are. They're quite good.
No, they have a great reputation.
Yeah. None of us have, huh? We should go up there and audition. That's a very good thought.
I've actually sent a lot of young singers to audition for that company.
And they record all of their shows now. They have professional recordings made, and our CD library is full of them, and I do make good use of them in our summer opera programming. So, Terry, thank you very much for that tip of the Ohio Light Opera. Sharon has sent us an email. Thanks for the mention of the Vaughan Williams Requiem. Just so people know, there's a performance Sunday, May 7th at 4 o'clock at First Unitarian, 93 West Weisheimer. It's free to all. And Chris, as someone who loves all of the arts, I wanted to let people know about a show, acoustic show, Brigida Denemeyer from Nashville, which is this Saturday night at the Red Door, and that is free. Thank you for that. Our number is 292-8513. That's a 614 number. And our email address is allsides@wosu.org. Now, I'm looking at the three of you sitting opposite me. We have dance, we have opera, we have choral conductor and orchestral conductor. You can conduct anything that doesn't bite you back, probably, right? And the word that is always bandied about is collaboration. And the three of you would make a killer. I don't know how it would happen,
so.
But you'd have a killer collaboration. So what about collaborations?
It's just a great way for new audiences to come see you. And it's just a lot of fun to do. You can do things that you normally can't do by yourself.
Exactly. Right.
So and then the grants, you know, when we write our grants, they love collaboration. But it's just a great way to branch out your audiences.
As a choreographer, it feeds me to work with other artists from other mediums and other venues to create my work. I mean, when I get to work with Corrine Fujiwara we did this project Hands, you know, a few years ago where a painter, I took all of his series of hands that he painted, and then Corrine and I worked together on the music. I mean, she would feed me ideas and we would have this dialogue back and forth, and same thing for the Courage project that we did last year. And both of those are being shown, excerpts from those are being shown this weekend. But I learn a lot by creating with others, I find. And I think when you're a creative artist, and you know, if you're like a poet or a playwright or a composer or a choreographer, you're generating work. And so that generation happens for me through the interactions I have with the dancers in front of me and also the influences of composers, music, all the things that feed that.
An opera singers, I find, also tend to get so put blinders on, and it's all about just the voice and the singing and this and that. And what's wonderful is when you start collaborating with other artists outside of that, and they start to see how the drama is driven by dance, by movement, by different arrangements, superimposed with projections and this and that. It broadens your horizon, and it makes you a more well-rounded artist, I think.
Well, now let's feel this out here. What would an opera director and a choreographer and the Columbus dance and the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus combined? How do you think that would look or move?
Well, there are people that have opera choruses. There are a lot of
in opera, of course, literally in the classical sense. I mean, you take something like Aida, and you've got three ballets or four, and you've got tons of chorus. and this and that.
Right.
Now, if you put a spin on it, as long as, in my opinion, as long as dramatically it's the integrity is not lost and the story is not lost, it's great to get other input. The story remains the same. You can put it in Egypt.
As does the music.
As does the music.
Right.
Whether it's in Egypt or in New Orleans or I don't know where, like Balo in Mascara tradition was originally supposed to be set somewhere in Scandinavia, but it works fabulously and updated in New Orleans.
Oh, all right. And speaking of the Rat Pack, there's starting a trend of restaging old Italian operas in tuxedos in Vegas, with people looking like Sinatra, I'm telling you, and Dean Martin. And whether that's bad or not, but it sure as heck will be entertaining. I mean, and it will certainly make a buzz and attract attention, and that's, I think, part of the equation there.
Anything to bring attention to the art form.
Is there something you wanted to, Jeannie, to share?
I was just saying that, again, for those who think opera is too highbrow
boring,
or beyond
fat,
them or
can't understand
it, just to read, like I said, the best of what's going to be happening next Friday and Saturday at the A Taste of Opera concert is we're doing the first act trio from Il Trovatore. Very exciting music.
That's bloody,
yeah. Except we can't have swords. So
you can't have swords, and nobody can die because it's the beginning of the opera.
Yeah,
they all die at the end.
There
right,
are a few more acts to go.
Yeah.
And then we have, the people will recognize this, the card trio.
Right. The two young girls see rich old men in their cards who die, which is right?
One gets a rich old man who dies, and one gets real true love.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, and Carmen dies.
Okay, Carmen dies later.
You know, she has her name on the title. She dies.
She dies.
And then we have that beautiful duet between Susanna and the Countess.
The Marriage of Figaro, Mozart. Yes.
Then we have the sublimely beautiful, some of the most sublimely beautiful music in opera, is the Rosenkavalier Trio.
Right. That's where the girl is really a boy. Never mind.
No. Yeah. it gets very confusing.
Yeah, don't go.
No.
Just listen.
And then we finished the first act, or the first half, with the Hoya to Ho girls from the Wagner.
Okay. So
also very exciting.
It's probably going to be a kick line with that, too, I tend to think.
They wouldn't let me do it.
No, well.
I tried.
We'll talk
no.
later.
Then in intermission, it's all Puccini after that.
Opera Project Columbus is Columbus' newest opera company. The fact that this town has two or three opera companies, plus our universities, plus Ohio State, and Capital does great stuff as well, and Ohio Wesleyan. Tim Veach has been directing opera at Ohio Wesleyan.
Yeah, I direct the opera workshop up there for Jason Heaster, and that's been great. And I've done a lot. I did a lot with Opera Columbus, for years. I choreographed all their stuff for 6 years. And then the Vial last year.
The Court Vial,
Lincoln, that I directed.
That's
that
right,
was incredible.
Did, so.
I love opera, and I love music, and I like to stage things that move around. So.
And singers, I tell you, every time you do something like Aida, the singers are fascinated by the dancers.
Oh, yeah.
I just, it's so amazing and so not something I could ever do.
Well, and my dancers always are always so thrilled when we sometimes call it when the real musicians come and we get to stop rehearsing with the tape or the CD. And, you know, yesterday Carpe Diem was in and it was, oh my goodness, you know, or the past couple of days they've been in. Sure. And all of a sudden when you hear Charles Weatherby's violin down the hall and Corrine and all of them. I mean, it's just amazing.
Charles Weatherby was for years the concert master of the Columbus Symphony, and he is missed, but I'm glad he's going on to his own full-time gig with that.
He's doing well. The quartet is doing spectacularly well.
Yes,
and so if you want to hear them, they're in my building weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
Come and hear them.
Tim Sarsony, I am old enough to remember when the gay men's chorus movement nationally began. I think it was probably in New York at Carnegie Hall. And people were nervous. They were leery. It was hard to find people that would advertise it.
Right.
People thought, well, only gay people will go and hear this, you know, and nobody else will go and hear that. Tell me about your audiences. And am I right when I use my old memory that's changing now?
Oh, sure. They were first started with the AIDS crisis. They needed groups to get together. Yeah. I mean, for centuries, people have been coming together in song to for either some cause or just, you know, support each other. And even at the beginning of the movement, I mean, people were afraid to be on stage to be recognized as a gay man or, you know, woman because...
Not so very long ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But now things are, thank God, have changed. Yeah. We have a great following, gay and non-gay patrons, and it's... We still have the same some of the similar issues, you know, with the, with marriage equality now, and just, you know, equal rights. So the fight has not stopped. It just kind of changes and moves around a little bit.
Can you separate, specifically for the Gay Men's Chorus, can you separate the arts with politics? Because, you know, most of your members probably are very politically minded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
We can.
Can you, or should you?
Well, there has to be a little bit in both, I think. Just through music is one of just the greatest avenues to bridge gaps. I mean, we go by the motto of voices raised, lives change. So just hearing us sing, you know, may start some kind of change in you know, how you think about things. You know, songs are different, you know, when a gay man's chorus sings them compared to when, you know, anybody else does. So
it's my impression that after a few years, the Gay Men's Chorus has became really focused on music making,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
rather than using it as a venue for something else. They wanted to do good music well.
Exactly. And that started with David Price when he was the first director. He was picked a very, you know, eclectic and very varied program and diverse program, hardcore classical stuff, and then, you know, the more fun.
You have a couple of smaller ensembles that come out of the Gay Men's Chorus, is that right?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. Vox is our audition group. It's of 18 guys, and as mentioned earlier, we have a concert next weekend, the 20th and 21st, Vox in Full Swing. And then we have another sacred group called Illuminati, who's directed by Mike Crandall, does a great job for us. We're getting calls from churches who wanted us to provide music for their morning services.
Wow.
So it became increasingly so, you know, more and more that we had to form a group.
Do you do any chant? Chant would really...
We could. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. We've done some in the chorus. We've done chant.
And how many, if I came to the Gay Men's Chorus and when you had the full chorus on stage, how many people am I looking at?
We have 90 for this Cher concert we're doing. Actually, we just started rehearsing for Cher and Cher Alike at the end of June. It's a full production concert. Yeah. It's going to have some choreography and a lot of fun music.
When is that? When and where?
That is in June. That's at the Lincoln Theater.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great venue for
us. We've been talking about the Lincoln Theater. Tim Veach has been working there, and you've been working there. It's about 2 years, I think, since it's been restored by Kappa.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
It's a beautiful space. How is it to work in? And
it's great.
What kind of crowds are you getting?
Great.
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Great.
And how big a theater is it?
Well, it's 500 if it's general admission, 550 if it's reserved.
Right.
I think it's an ideal space for many groups in town in terms of size of venue. And I think I like the location. I like it's in Old Town East. Mm-hmm. I think that is a great statement. That area has had trouble in the past, and I think is on the up, and I think that's great. And so I think it's really great for the city.
You know, if you looked up Old Town East, it's amazing what that neighborhood was even 40 or 50 years ago. Everybody came through there, and all the great jazz names came through there. Everybody. I mean, there were hotels. There was a whole incredible community out there that mm-hmm. some of us have no idea of unless we look it up. So hopefully that will help being restored.
Well, I like it. It's very near where we are. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we can have a little performing area over there,
absolutely.
I think that's great.
Now, I know we're having too much fun here, and we have about 6 minutes left. So if anybody wants to call, you've got a few minutes left to do it. 292-8513. Our email address is allsides@wosu.org. I'm Christopher Purdy. My usual gig is with Classical 101. Once in a while, they let me out. This is one of those times. My guests are Tim Veach, the Columbus Dance Theater, Eugenie Grunewald, mezzo-soprano, Opera Project Columbus, Ohio State University School of Music, as is Tim Sarsony, an alumnus and a teacher there for many years. He is now working with Vaudevillities and the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. Jeannie, part of the reason also you're in town, because you live in New York full time, is there's a gala or something at the School of Music next week.
That you're going to be my date
for. Yes.
Excuse me. No, I am. I actually was coming to do the opera gig first. And then happily, it turned out that I was invited, as you were, to be on the honorary committee that's going to announce a they are going to build a brand new school of music for Ohio State.
Don't give it away.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Forget that she
said
that.
That's a secret.
That's a secret.
They'll build it in secret.
There you go. Which I think is so fantastic. Yeah. It's so overdue, and it's just really, I'm really, 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 really pleased for the university and the School of Music. And but the big unveiling is this Tuesday night.
That's great. Yeah. Are you singing?
No.
Good.
No.
Don't
I'm
sing
just
unless
showing
they pay
up.
You.
No. No, actually, Richard Blatty did do a kind of a filmed interview with me, which I think is going to be part of a huge presentation of stuff that's going on, so I don't know.
And before we finish, Tim Veach, I happen to know, because we were talking earlier about how parents are having strokes if their kids want to go in the arts.
Right.
You have a son in the arts, right?
I have a son very much in the arts. My son has just turned 20, and actually, he's turned 20. I've been choreographing for 20 years, and the only new work that's going to be on the program is a solo that I've made for him to the Golioff Tenebrae. It's 15 minutes. He's coming back. He dances for the Nashville Ballet now in Nashville, Tennessee.
Last time we talked, he was going to New York, for the first time.
He went to study at School of American Ballet for his senior year. He grew up in my school. We have a beautiful school at Columbus Dance Theater, a training school for aspiring young dancers. And he trained from the time he was six until he was 17 with me and the other faculty. And then he went to School of American Ballet. And then he got an apprentice position at Nashville. And now he dances there in the company there. But I've made a work for him. And he's coming in to dance it. And he'll dance. That's one of the only pieces that'll be done on both programs on Saturday. That way his mom can see it twice.
Is his mom a dancer?
His mother is Chris Kirk. She's an actress and director in town. She teaches theater at Otterbein.
Oh, cool.
And she acts, in various productions around town. She's now, probably listening right
well,
now.
Well, back in the day, how were your parents?
My parents have always been 100% supportive of me doing. My father is actually a fantastic singer.
Mine was too.
When I was a kid, I used to hear he'd sing Paiachi doing the dishes, over the sink. And he went into corporate life and sang, for fun as an adult person. But he was in theater and singing and all of that and quite talented. And so when I expressed interest in theater and music and dance and all that, they were always very supportive and great, really great about it.
And your son's in Nashville, and he'll be there for a while.
He'll be we'll see. He's got a contract again for next year, and so he's there. And but he's coming home to dance this weekend.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we leave, remind me, Tim Sarsony, what's this weekend? Vaudevillities.
This weekend's Vaudevillities, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Next weekend we have Vox in Full Swing, Friday and Saturday at the Van Fleet Theater and behind the main library.
I hope you're all writing this down as you listen, Jeannie Grunewald.
Next Friday and Saturday, the 20th and the 21st, 8 p.m., Gray's Chapel, Ohio Wesleyan, A Taste of Opera. You can go to the website, www.operaprojectcolumbus.org, and order tickets. Please come.
Please come. And Tim Veach.
Tim Veach Dance this weekend. Tonight, no tickets, but tomorrow, sold out. But tomorrow, 3 o'clock, 8 o'clock, www.columbusdancetheater.com, our new website, and 849-0227.
Including a new work for your son, which is very kind of moving to just hear about. We were all getting a little wet-eyed hear about this.
Very exciting.
I thank you all. Tim Sarsony, the artistic director of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus and others. Eugenie Grunewald, Opera Project Columbus, International Mezzo-Soprano, the Ohio State University School of Music, and a great mouth and a mensch. And Tim Veach, the founder and artistic director and papa of the Columbus Dance Theater. I'm Christopher Purdy. I thank you all for joining me for today's All Sides Weekend on the Arts. Thank you to our producer, Amy Jurevich. Thank you all for listening. Get busy. Get busy. Legal ID. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR, a service of WOSU Public Media.